You are Locked On Mizzou, your daily podcast on the Missouri Tigers. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hey, all you true sons and daughters, I'm John Miller, your Mizzou mafioso and central scrutinizer of Missouri Tigers football and basketball. And today's episode of Locked On Mizzou is brought to you by Built Bar. Go to BuiltBar.com and use the promo code LOCKEDON for $10 off your next order. And boy, if you watched that debate last night, you probably feel like you need a shower, don't you? Well, good news. We got nothing but football talk on this particular episode to cleanse your palate, including plenty of sound bites from Eli Drinkwitz about the Alabama game, and of course, looking forward to this Saturday's game against the Tennessee Volunteers as well. And I also have a loyal listener who sent me an email, actually a little bit concerned about Eli Drinkwitz's tone during some of these press conferences. So I'll address that a little bit later, but first, let's just start off with the Alabama game once again, shall we? Now, obviously, maybe the biggest concern coming out of that Alabama football game is that starting cornerback Jarvis Ware injured his knee during that contest, and Eli updated the media saying that basically the Jarvis Ware status is still definitely up in the air for this Saturday, but just reading between the lines, it certainly doesn't sound like any type of season-ending or even multi-week injury there for Mr. Ware, so hopefully we've avoided a little bit of disaster for now. Now, as for COVID-19, no new positives on the Missouri roster, so hopefully we should have about as full of a roster, you know, minus injuries and all that kind of deal and other opt-outs as we possibly could at this moment in time for Saturday, so that's certainly a positive. Well, speaking of opt-outs, one more Missouri player has opted out, and that's linebacker Aubrey Miller. Now, Mr. Miller got a lot of hype during last year's preseason camp, was a pretty well-hailed recruit under Barry Odom, but for whatever reason, it's never quite worked out, at least so far, for Aubrey Miller. Now with him opting out for the season, as I've sort of explored before, it's hard to imagine. It's going to be a tough road back for these kids who opt out, especially if you weren't a significant contributor prior to opting out, which so far none of these kids have been significant contributors who've opted out. So it'll certainly be interesting to see again who comes back and if they contribute, that kind of deal. But regardless, best wishes to Aubrey Miller and everyone who has opted out of this season. Now, when it comes to the quarterback position on this team, that certainly at this moment feels like something we can talk about just about every week. And I think both Sean Robinson and Connor Bazelak, well, from my eyes at least, were a mixed bag. There were some positives and there were some negatives. And, well, let's just hear, why don't we hear what Eli Drinkwitz had to say specifically about Sean Robinson's performance on Saturday with a few more days to analyze it.
I mean, negative plays are part of the plays as a quarterback. It's the holistic approach. I mean, it's, well, if you don't throw those, this is a hypothetical, but if you didn't throw those two interceptions, you played a good game. You threw those two interceptions. So, you know, I thought he showed some toughness. He took some hits in the pocket and stayed in there. But again, I think he had somewhere minus 40, minus 35 yards rushing because of the sacks and negative plays. And those just cannot happen. And those have to get corrected. You know, those are part of the game. So there's really no, well, if you know, he played good, but, I mean, you either played good or you didn't. And right now, nobody played well enough to win. So we all got to improve. I didn't coach well enough to win. I didn't call plays well enough to win. And at the quarterback position, we have to improve.
Yeah, I think to Eli's point there, a lot of people pointed to Sean Robinson's completion percentage, which may have been a little bit north of 75%. But, you know, the yards per attempt, that kind of thing, you got to always look at that, keep everything in context. And of course, you know, with the sacks that he took, the two interceptions that he threw, you know, those are huge negative plays that obviously that's going to take down your grade quite a bit. So it'll be, I truly believe we'll see probably a better version of both quarterbacks on Saturday against Tennessee. You know, not that Tennessee's a pushover by any stretch of the imagination, as we'll get to, but certainly compared to Alabama, well, frankly, there is no comparison. So maybe a bit of a more fair opportunity to evaluate both young men this coming Saturday. By the way, last week on my podcast and on a radio appearance down in Mobile, Alabama, I pointed out that Zeke Powell, who was starting at left tackle for Missouri this past week, well, he was a gentleman I had not heard of in the previous weeks in fall camp. He was a name that, frankly, had just popped just about out of nowhere for me. And just to be clear, that was never meant to be a shot at Zeke Powell. That was just simply me drawing a contrast and putting in context the situation of Missouri's offensive line and, frankly, just the lack of depth that they had in week one and possibly moving forward. But you know what? Considering all the unknowns about Zeke Powell, I thought it was interesting to hear Eli Drinkwitz asked about Zeke Powell and for him to give a little bit more color on the young man. So let's hear that right now.
We knew Zeke was incredibly talented. Coach Woods had been recruiting him. He was the primary junior college recruiter. We knew he was a bounce back from South Alabama, and we actually had looked at him in the first signing period, but there was some academic things that we needed to make sure he could correct first before we would have the opportunity to sign him. You know, we knew he was talented. Obviously, we couldn't have foretold the future as far as what happened with Hiron, but we knew we needed some depth at the tackle position, and he's a guy that's been available. Obviously, Bobby Lawrence is a guy that was competing for that position but had a setback due to things outside of his control. He did a nice job for his first, you know, SEC start, but there's a lot of things I know after watching that tape he knows that he can do better on, and that's really our focus, all of us improving, finding ways to improve this week.
Yeah, certainly Zeke Powell didn't stand out in a negative way, and against Alabama under those circumstances, I don't know how you can't be somewhat pleased by that. And I think Eli really was. And again, I think it was just interesting there to hear why maybe Zeke Powell came out of nowhere. And obviously sometimes kids have their own personal circumstances that slow them down a bit, whether it's academics or something like that. But maybe Zeke Powell is a bit of a diamond in the rough here. Who knows? But regardless, by the way, the Hiron there, for those of you who are not aware, Hiron White was previously going to be Missouri's starting left tackle. Unfortunately, he's going to undergo season-ending shoulder surgery. All right, and of course, we do have much more football to get to, including Coach Drinkwitz chiding the media a little bit for what he thought was, well, somewhat unfair behavior with one of our players. But first, I got to tell you once again about our friends, our title sponsor, Built Bar. You know, I've talked about the keto diet quite a bit when I do these Built Bar reads, but quite frankly, I've never gone all the way with the keto diet. It's more of just a guide for what to do and what not to do. So obviously, the Built Bar is a little bit of a treat, but it's not a treat you should feel guilty about whatsoever, because it's low calorie, low in sugar, and high in protein. And you know what? I also do a little bit of intermittent fasting, too. I feel like those are the two things that work for me when it comes to losing weight. And my mom, yes, my lovely mother, has actually told me that she's gotten into Built Bar lately, along with her intermittent fasting. A lot of times she'll skip dinner and just have a nice, filling Built Bar, maybe for lunch, that kind of deal. So if you want to hear what all the good news is about, go to BuiltBar.com right now. Use the promo code LOCKEDON, and you'll get $10 off your first or your next order. So again, that's promo code LOCKEDON for $10 off at BuiltBar.com. One of Missouri's graduate transfer receivers, Keke Chisholm, was asked about his relative lack of production, possibly even the play calling, after the game, and one of his comments was that, quote, "I can't throw the ball to myself." Now, obviously I'm giving you that comment without a whole lot of context there, and Frankly, that's okay, because knowing how the media works, knowing how Twitter works, you have to know that people are going to take that comment and possibly run with it a little bit. And, well, following the game in my podcast, I basically suggested to Mr. Chisholm that that wasn't the best thing he could have possibly said. You know, especially for your first game, not a good look to be, I don't know, maybe accidentally throwing a little bit of shade at your quarterback. But also I said, you know what, he's a young kid, it's his first game, maybe first game really talking to the media considering it's his first Division I football game, his first FBS game. But you know what, instead of criticizing the player, actually Eli Drinkwitz pretty early in his press conference had some words for the media instead.
You know, final thing, just want to address something that occurred after the game. You know, we're new to each other, just dealing with the media, and there was some unfair questions asked to our players, specifically a wide receiver. You know, I'm the one that calls the football plays. I design the plays. If you got a question about why somebody's not getting targets or why they're not getting the football, I'd appreciate if those questions come to me. We put him in a bad situation, and that was not fair to the young man after that game, after the first game of the year. To question why he wasn't be used enough, I thought was really just tacky and trying to divide a football team. And I didn't appreciate it. And, you know, with that, would like to open that those kind of things up if you want to be critical of those kind of things. Again, I'm the head football coach and the offensive coordinator, and how we utilize players in our offense and our defense, our special team, ultimately results and lies with me. And I'd like for those questions to come to me. And with that, I'll open it up for questions.
You know, one thing I've learned from listening to all these press conferences the last few weeks is that Eli Drinkwitz is, while he seems like he's definitely a good extemporaneous speaker and can tell the occasional semi-funny joke off the cuff and all that, don't let him fool you. He's not a guy who just shoots his mouth off and says things without thinking. And frankly, I think a lot of times with the media, just depending on the circumstances and depending on what he wants to get accomplished, he's really good at playing the good cop, and sometimes he plays the bad cop pretty darn well too. And obviously, at the beginning of this press conference here, he's playing the bad cop. He's trying to intimidate is the wrong word, but just, you know, maybe it's not the wrong word either, but just in a very sort of gentle way, remind the media who's in charge. And there's an interesting dynamic there, because Eli is obviously a relatively young guy. He's 37 years old. And while some of those people in that media room on the Zoom call, to be more accurate these days, are guys in their 20s, well, frankly, guys like Gabe DeArmond, who are in their mid-40s, well, when Gabe started his website, when he started PowerMizzou.com, Eli Drinkwitz was still a teenager. So there's an interesting bit of a power play kind of happening there at times. But again, back to my good cop, bad cop point. From there on, Eli was very easygoing and as engaging as really he can be with the press. And by the way, that includes with Peter Baugh, a kid that I've had some fun with. And I shouldn't call him a kid, frankly. He's in his 20s. He's younger than me, is all I'm saying. But I had some fun with him because Eli's maybe picked on Peter at times, frankly, for maybe asking what Eli didn't perceive to be the best questions whatsoever. Well, I think that may be him being the bad cop a little bit and letting people know that, hey, I've got limited time here. Don't ask me stupid questions. But also, Eli's good at engaging with good questions, in my humble opinion. And you know what? I want to address this topic even a little bit further by reading that listener email right after the break. So listener Jim, who is a longtime listener of this podcast and about my parents' age, apparently. Well, he writes in and says, along with lots of Mizzou fans, I am encouraged by the Eli Drinkwitz hire. His reputation at App State, his 2021 recruiting accomplishments, and his handling of the COVID-19 and diversity/inclusion challenges have all been impressive. Now my concern, As I watched earlier post-practice clips, he came off to me as flippant and arrogant. I put it on the new coach learning the ropes on a bigger stage category and dismissed it. His recent comment about the previously unknown offensive lineman Zeke Powell as a co-starter, quote, availability is more important than ability sometimes, end quote, is undoubtedly true, but in my opinion, also an unnecessary cheap shot. I wonder how Powell and his teammates internalized that comment. I don't think Eli cares. His attempts at humor and bold in-your-face declarations, a Mike Leach wannabe, just fall short to me. I read everything Dave Matter writes and listen to every word you say, and this perception has not been mentioned. Am I overreacting? My fear is that this shtick may play now, but could get plenty old 10 games down the road. I would really appreciate your thoughts. Thanks, Jim. Well, once again, Jim, thanks so much for listening to the podcast, first of all. And second of all, I think, well, if he may have messed up originally with his Zeke Powell comments, I think he certainly corrected it in that bite that we heard. Maybe you have a point there. Maybe Eli realized that maybe I was a little bit flippant with Zeke Powell there, and I might want to correct that in the media. I think you might have a point there, frankly. But I think mostly Coach Drinkwitz is going to take his player's side and frankly use the media to his advantage. And if sometimes that means that he has to be a little bit flippant or frankly a tiny bit rude with the media, I don't think he really cares that much. Because, and whether that's right or wrong, in this day and age, coaches and players, programs, they don't need the mainstream media as much as they used to. Guys, players, coaches can talk directly to fans via social media. They can control the message so much more. They have their own video staffs, social media, etc., etc. They can give you access to the players in the ways that they want to. They can show you carefully sort of scripted, edited elements of who these guys are that puts them in the most flattering light. And you can sort of see why they want more and more control, because again, you let go of a little control and look what happens. Keke Chisholm says something that he probably regrets saying, quite frankly. Now, don't get me wrong. I don't want to seem dismissive of what Jim's saying whatsoever, because while I did think his somewhat dismissive answers of Peter Baugh's maybe not the best questions at times, to me was funny at times, maybe because I can just relate to getting, I don't know, dismissed or yelled at by older, powerful gentlemen. I've had a lot of those experiences, whether it's with coaches or old guys in the trading pits in Chicago. But regardless, I can see how at a certain point it's starting to get starting to feel like he's piling on Peter a little bit. And frankly, I had this one soundbite that I've been sitting on because, frankly, I didn't want to seem like I was piling on Peter. But you know what? Since it's been brought up again, let's hear yet another weird interaction between Peter Baugh of The Athletic and Eli Drinkwitz.
Hi, Eli. How much consideration, I guess, have you given to playing multiple quarterbacks within one game?
A lot.
Is that something we can expect on Saturday?
I can't manage your expectations.
Fair.
Colin, go ahead.
Well, that was a little awkward, wasn't it? Now, again, you're certainly free to not like that tactic, and that did feel a little unnecessary to me, that particular interaction. But to be fair, again, I think that's just Eli sort of marking his territory as the relatively young coach and saying, hey, my time's valuable and I don't need these silly questions. Because, well, honestly, in this latest press conference following the Alabama game, he was perfectly fair with Peter Baugh, even to the point where the moderator actually kind of accidentally cut off Peter, and Eli said, oh, sorry about that, Peter, and they eventually got back to his follow-up question. So, again, I think that was more of Eli sort of playing the good cop after being the bad cop at the beginning of that, sort of chiding the media for the Keke Chisholm interaction. But I don't know. You're allowed to think what you want to think all of you, including listener Jim, about Eli. Maybe he is a little bit unnecessarily snippy at times, but I think just keep in mind it's all sort of a game to him, and he's using the media to get what results he wants. Whether that works or not, I guess we'll find out in the long term. But you know what? In the short term, here on Locked On Mizzou, the plan is to record with Josh Ward. Hey, that rhymed. Of Locked On Vols tomorrow morning. So that'll be fun, as always, to do yet another crossover episode. Probably about my, I don't know, fourth or fifth with Josh or so. We always have a good time. So look forward to that tomorrow. So until then, I am John Miller, and this has been Locked On Mizzou.